The World Health Organization defines addiction as a chronic relapsing condition. Dahab Private Hospital recognizes that addiction is a multifaceted illness affecting an individual's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, social, and practical well-being. With 28 and 90-day residential rehabilitation programs and Dahab's accredited private health fund approved treatment service, you or your loved one can get the help you need to navigate the rehabilitation process to regain control, to overcome that addiction, and to take back your life. If this resonates, then take the first step and call Dahab Private Hospital for addiction treatment. Addiction is treatable and recovery is possible. 1-800-329-422 or dahab.com.au. Dahab is one word, D-A-Y-H-A-B, dahab.com.au.
Hey, Tiff.
Yes.
Let's not fuck this one up.
You look like you're bursting at the seams with some news.
Oh, dear. Hey, everyone. My name's Craig Harper. Look, thanks for joining us. Tiff's in the background there just laughing her ass off. We have very clumsily been trying to do a fucking ad. It's not an ad. It's just us talking about a new program. Folks, we've got a new program starting very soon. In fact, February 15. It's called the You Project Mentoring Program. It's Monday nights from 8 till 10. It's you, it's me, it's us, it's learning, it's growing, it's laughing, it's evolving. It's all things mind, body, emotion, and behavior. It's $297 for the 12 weeks. It's less than $25 a session. Monday nights, 8 till 10, about half an hour of that will be Q&A. I'll be there. Hopefully you'll be there. If you're interested, go to my website, which is craigharper.net. Go to the events section and just have a look. You can read about all the shit and you can even sign up, or you can just fucking check it out and go, nah. Either way, love your guts. Thanks, Tiff.
Thanks, Harps.
G'day, Groovers. Welcome to another installment of the You Project. I think for about the 350th time, here we are just rocking up, doing what we can. Hi, Melissa.
Hello. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, look, I'm really good, thank you. You look like you have a new setup over there at Melissa Central. What's going on?
Yeah, I've switched things around a little bit. I've got natural light, which is nice. Natural I know. Natural light happening. So,
look at your fucking look at your skin. Like, I look like an old leather bag with some fucking glasses on and a bit of fluff on the top of my head. Could you get at least one wrinkle to make me feel better?
Oh, trust me, there's plenty going on here.
I tell you what, when Liz comes on, we're going to get Liz to support my, because there ain't one fucking wrinkle. Do you ever go in the sun? You don't go in the sun, do you? Is that because you're...
I'm like Casper. Like,
is that because you're... Are you a 100% ranger or 50% ranger?
I'm going to go, I don't know, 50%?
50% ranger. But
yeah, I'm never going to tan. I just go red. So, so not that tanning's a good thing.
Do we call you a strawberry blonde? Is that what that is?
I think that's the technical term.
Fucking hell. Hi, Liz Craven.
Hi.
Thanks for joining. I'm great. Thanks for joining us on the You Project.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, well, you took our call and, you know, you which was very brave knowing that it was me ringing, but
just some random rang me and I'm on a podcast. Look at
that. Yeah, that's right. I am a fucking, that is a very good. Now, can you just tell people who are listening and not looking, how many wrinkles does Melissa have?
I don't see any wrinkles. How old are you, Melissa?
I'm 32.
Come on. That's crazy. Are you in Melbourne too?
Yeah.
See, I grew up on the beach, so I have many wrinkles. And I partied a lot, so also many wrinkles.
Did you party? Because actually, I could picture you partying, but I know your current lifestyle doesn't lend itself to partying. But were you a party girl when you were younger, or like were you out and about?
Yeah, I was a big party girl. I didn't do any sport at all growing up, and I went straight into partying and started lifting when I was 33, I believe.
It's funny. When you said I went straight into partying, it was like coming out of school. Yeah, I went straight into law. Liz went straight into, she did an undergrad in partying and then a postgrad in night clubbing. Sorry, everyone. I think we're talking over the top of each other. You were good at it, were you?
Yeah, I was a good bit of partying. I could go Thursday all the way through to Monday. But wow. it's not really a lifestyle that, you know, I wanted to continue for too long.
Well, we had Kanetta on a while ago, who is the owner of Pole Divas down here in Melbourne, and she has 5 or 6 studios. And Kanetta was telling us about her days when she was in her very early 20s running Bar 20 here in Melbourne, or managing all the girls from Bar 20. And that was a very interesting conversation. And she said she went for about 10 years, I think, pretty much Thursday night to Monday night, was it, Melissa? Something like that.
Yeah.
Where she just absolutely flogged herself about 4 days a week and tried to recover for 3, and did that for a decade. And I've got no idea how she's still alive, and I don't think she has either. But she's in her, I think she's, she'll kill me for saying this, I think she's early 50s, and she looks amazing. Wow.
Yeah, that was me. I would go Thursday till Monday, and then you have terrible Tuesday, you recover Wednesday, Thursday, and then start again.
What a bloody and without getting too deep or revealing anything you don't want to, I don't know how open or not open you are about this, understandably, but did you go hard in the old using a few substances to have some fun?
I sure did. I actually went to art school after high school, so art school was a good place to learn to party.
Wow. And do you reckon that you had, I had no idea we'd go here, but this is interesting. Did you have, like, was it tough for you to stop using all the stuff you used?
Yeah. What I actually did, I was living like the big life in Sydney, just with out on the scene. And I ended up moving to Canberra, where I live now. Just, I had to get away from everybody because it was just too much influence. And I actually was still not training or doing anything like that. I accidentally walked past some people that were handing out flyers for Fitness First, and I thought, why not? And I took a flyer and I got a free personal training session with that, or 3 free, and I started training then, and the addiction to being wasted got taken over by addiction to training. So I am a little bit addicted to training. If I don't do it, I lose my mind.
Do you know what? We've spoken about this many times. I reckon everybody, including me, and especially the other person who doesn't have a fucking wrinkle on the call, you know, we're all a bit OCD with something. But when we talk about addictions, generally, obviously we're generally talking about drugs and booze and, you know, gambling and sex and all the kind of biggies. But there are so many addictions, and that, you know, that line between obsessive compulsive behavior and addiction and perfectionism and, you know, just obsession in general, it's a really fine line. And I'm like you, if they said to me, you can't train for a month, that would be a real challenge for me to manage myself mentally and emotionally, because it's an outlet for me. It's an emotional and psychological stabilizer. And, you know, for my, like, even for my mum has this house that's perfectly clean and every meal's amazing and every meal's got to be presented a certain way. And my dad's got all these little quirks and all these idiosyncrasies around, you know, his behavior. Everybody that I know has got some kind of leaning towards control, you know, control around the behavior. So was it's it, also, go, sorry.
It's your identity. So when I wake up, I see myself as somebody that trains. I see myself as, you know, it's how you build your habits as well. And so if I wake up and that identity is taken away from me, then I have to work out a new person to be, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's interesting that. So without being too, well, I am going fucking hard in the paint early. But how do you, if you get your sense of self from, you know, your strength and your training and your success in the sport, which we'll talk about soon, what happens when that ends?
This has actually been a big issue for me in the last 2 years, as I'm not sure if you know about, with powerlifting, the federations, we had a big split. And so I've been going to Worlds since about 2012, trying to get that gold medal. And in 2017, I think it was, Powerlifting Australia was kicked out of the International Federation, which is a very long story. And so I've been doing other worlds. I've broken quite a few world records, etc. And so my main thing has been trying to get on that podium, which I've gotten the bronze and I've gotten the silver. And then the following year was when we were kicked out. I've become a world champion in another federation, but I want to get it in the International Powerlifting Federation one day. That's been my obsession for many years. Mm. And then to have that taken away from me was quite confronting. Yeah. I kind of didn't know. I'm like, well, what's the point in training? What am I doing? And I had to slowly start to build the love of just the actual process again, instead of the outcome.
Yeah, that's really interesting because, sorry, Liz, there's a real challenge because in the space that we work, like with you as well, and Melissa and I, and a lot of people who listen to this are coaches and teachers. And on the one hand, we want to have goals and a focus and, you know, we need a process and we need something to move towards and something to excite us. But also, we need to know who we are beyond that. And we also need to be okay where we are. You know, it's juggling this being present and being content and being okay in the moment with being this fucking crazy person driven to achieve these outcomes.
Yeah. So I ended up taking a year off competing last year, which was really good for me. I opened my new gym. I did the diploma in remedial massage, which is also helping my business, and it's fun.
Yeah.
Something different. And I got back up with less training. I got back up to the same strength as I had when I was completely obsessed, which was really interesting for me, doing less. Because I was doing 4-hour training sessions 5 times a week back when I was trying to 2 years ago.
Now sorry, Melissa, I got off mic, just yell at me. We've had Dean Morby on a couple of times, who's a guy in Castlemaine who has a gym and works with a lot of older people and does a lot of works primarily on training older people around powerlifting. And so we've had a little bit of a workshop, but so this is really fundamental, but I would say 50% of my listeners don't know anything or much at all about powerlifting. And so for the other 50% of you, just call this revision. Just tell us what powerlifting is. What are the three lifts? How does it work? Just give us like a few minutes of the sport and the skills and the requirements so that people, when you're talking about a PB or you're talking about, you know, worlds or being a world, breaking 5 world records as you have and all of that, so they can picture in their mind what's going on.
All right, so powerlifting is squat, bench and deadlift, as opposed to Olympic lifting, which is snatch and clean and jerk. So we don't throw the weight over our head. A squat is when you have the barbell on your back and you walk it out in IPF, and you have to bend your knees and get below parallel with your hips and then stand up again, basically. Mm. So bench press.
I think everybody knows what that is. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
but tell us about the rules for benching in comp, because it's not like Brian in the gym just banging out a couple of sets.
That's right. So we have to keep our shoulders and a part of our butt on the bench, and we have to pause on our chest till the ref says press. So you'll see a lot of crazy arches and stuff, but that's all within the rules because we're just trying to shorten the ROM. Because the shorter the ROM, the more you can lift, basically. So purely for the sport, we do that bench arch, which everyone hates.
And the ROM, everyone, is the range of movement. In other words, how far the weight has to travel.
That's right. So we're trying to be efficient by shortening our range of motion. And then we've got deadlift, and we can do sumo, which is when your feet are out wide and knees turned out, or conventional, which is what you'll see most people in the gym do. And the rule is your shoulders have to be behind and you can't hitch the bar or ramp it up your legs.
Okay. So you can't kind of pull it up the front of your legs and scrape it up over your quads.
Yeah, you can't do the humping the bar, as they call it.
All right. So let's talk a few numbers and then we'll just talk more about you and your journey. But so I spoke to you yesterday, and tell me if I get any of these numbers wrong. So your walking around weight is about 55 kilos.
Except not after Christmas.
Okay, what, you've blown out to 56, have you?
No, 57, it's killing me.
Fucking hell, I thought you looked a bit chubby sitting there. No, I didn't, everyone. Don't fucking hate me. I'm kidding. She's
chunky,
tiny.
But funky.
She's tiny. All right, but typically your walking around weight is 55?
Yeah.
And you compete at what weight?
52s.
So that means you've got to come in at 52 or under. And when do you get weighed?
All right, so IPF, we get weighed 2 hours before, or like the weigh-in start 2 hours before.
Mm.
So you're cutting weight. I'm currently cutting weight right now because of blowing out over Christmas, because I compete on Saturday. So I'm water loading today.
Oh, hang on. Stop. Oh, fuck, this is exciting. So you're competing on Saturday. Now, we're recording this a bit earlier, folks. So this is Tuesday morning. You're competing in 4 days.
Yes.
PhD. I couldn't figure it out. So tell us about water loading. What's that do?
All right. So because I often will, especially if I'm competing at 52s, I'll have to cut weight. At this point, I'm cutting to be in the weight class above, because it's just a qualifier that I'm competing in. So I'm going to drink 6 to 8 liters of water today and cut my carbs right down, and just because it's going to flush some water out of me. Mm. And then tomorrow I'll drink the same. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Thursday I'll also drink as much as I can. Basically what that does is it means you start peeing a lot, and then you pull back, you cut your water to about 1 liter the day before, and your body still hasn't caught up to that, so it keeps you dehydrating, and then I'll come in under. So the problem is I'm catching a flight on Friday as well, so I've got to be extra cautious because that makes you hold water as well.
Yeah, so it's really interesting, and there are lots of sports, you know, wrestling, boxing, UFC, you know, a lot of power events where people have to make weight, and there's been lots of conversation and controversy around it. And some, you know, like I was listening yesterday to a conversation between Joe Rogan and a wrestler called Jordan Burroughs, who is an Olympic gold medalist, 2012. In London, I think it was. And he was talking about the weight that they have to cut. And some of them literally have to cut 10 kilos in 2 days. And I mean, they almost kill themselves, you know. And they were talking about, Jordan Burroughs was talking about wrestlers, he's Olympic wrestler, as I said, wrestlers being carried in by their coaches to be weighed because they're so dehydrated they can't walk.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen it in powerlifting people, and you spit in a cup, you sauna, you go in every 15 minutes, 5 minutes, come out, people crying, trying to weigh in and still not weighing in. So then they've got their heaps of clothes on, get on the bike, go walking, get back in the sauna, and you're trying to lift as much weight as you can whilst being weakened like that, which is, it's part of the sport though, you know.
It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy though, right?
It's very crazy, especially because we only have 2 hour weigh-in. So there's other federations in powerlifting where they have a 24 hour weigh-in. Mm. So they can destroy themselves, but they've got 24 hours to rehydrate, eat some food, because I've been at a comp where I haven't been able to eat anything but egg whites for 2 days, and I didn't do very well at that comp, believe it or not.
Well, gee, there's a shock. And by the way, kids, we're not recommending any of this. Auntie Liz is a bit weird and a world champion, so you know, don't try this at home. But
and you never do it unless there's something on the line, like you can break a record or be a world champion. There's absolutely no point in doing that. Like, I've had people, their first comp, they want a weight cut. I'm like, that's ridiculous. Just go in whatever weight you are.
Yeah.
And have a good comp.
And also, let's point out that the vast majority of people in the world who do powerlifting as their primary focus, or even, you know, people who actually do, you know, squats, deadlifts and bench, and their core focus of their training is powerlifting. Most people don't compete at an elite level, if ever compete at all. And most don't. I mean, I've done all of those lifts my whole life and I've never even thought about competing as a powerlifter. So most people who do those things don't have to weight cut and don't do those extreme things. So we're not endorsing that, but that is part of, you know, and there's lots of craziness that goes on at the elite level in lots of sports to get people, you know, that's just the requirements. And it's kind of interesting because those rules, which are very, very inflexible generally, they are the things that put people in harm's way rather than,
you know,
there being some other measure. But Joe Rogan talks a lot about hydration tests. So, you know, people just compete at what they weigh. And, you know, if somebody comes in at a level and they're drastically dehydrated, which obviously is very unhealthy, then they can't compete. But again, that opens a whole Pandora's box of how do we manage that? But so if you walk around generally at 55 and you compete at 52, it's not drastic for you generally. Am I right?
Yeah, no. Well, the last kilo for me is very hard. 53 to 52, I have to work extremely hard to get that down. But I've never had to sauna because I refuse to sauna, so I do everything around that. But
the other thing for you, sorry, Liz, I keep cutting you off. The other thing for you that people I haven't mentioned is you're 4'11". and so a kilo for you is at 4'11", and when you're already lean and small and you've got lots of muscle because you're very strong and you don't have any fat and you're already dehydrated, yeah, that last, because literally a kilo is a liter of water. So yeah that's have you ever not made the cut? Have you ever had to walk away from a competition because you couldn't get there on the day?
No, not yet. So hopefully not Saturday. I was thinking you should do a powerlifting comp.
Oh, is that what you were thinking? Fucking hell, you and I will chat off air. That's never happening. You need to chat to my L5, L6, have a talk to them and they'll get back to you. That's funny though. But I have been doing all those lifts my whole life. But so tell everybody your best lifts, just to put this in context so people can understand how strong you are.
So my best squat is 160.5 that was 2 years ago.
What body weight were you then?
I was 50, under 56, so it was 55 because I was trying to get in the all-time under 56 world. And my best bench is 87.5.
Yeah.
And my best deadlift is 190.
Freaking hell.
But so the whole point of powerlifting is to be as light as possible and lift as heavy as possible so you get the best score, which is your power to weight ratio kind of thing.
And what weight were you when you deadlifted 190?
That was when I was 55.
My goodness. So that's 3.5 times plus your body weight.
Yes, I want to get to 4 times one day. So I want to deadlift 200 at 52 kilos is my aim.
So you want to deadlift 200 at, has anybody done four, well, I'm sure there's a few, but have any women done four times body weight in a deadlift?
Steffi Cohen is the first woman that has done four times, I think it is.
Oh yeah, so she's the American lady, yeah?
Yeah, so she's non-drug tested, but in drug tested, it would be, I would say Heather Connor is going to be the first to do so in comp. She's wow. She's a 47 kilo lifter, and I think she just got a 200 in the gym, but it's with bumpers, and I'm not sure what bar she was using. So,
what does that mean with bumpers?
So if we use metal plates, which it's actually bumpers for some reason feel easier. I think they're slightly higher off the ground, and it's the way the mass is
distributed.
Yeah, distributed. But bumpers always feel better. I can lift more in bumpers. And there's different kinds of bars. In the IPF, we make it a lot harder for ourselves. We use a really stiff bar, the Alico. And then the other federations will use a bendy bar, which is nice. So I've pulled 192.5 on a bendy bar with no deload or no actual program. And in knee wraps, I've squatted 170, which is, and that actually wasn't that hard. I want to see what I can squat in knee wraps.
Now, have you ever? Yeah, I have. I've never put on a suit because just doesn't fucking suit me, you know. Tell us about lifting raw versus lifting in a suit. What do those two terms mean?
So you've got equipped and you've got not equipped. So I will use knee sleeves, which are made out of, I guess, like wetsuit material. So they don't actually help you, but they give you a bit of proprioception. I'll use a belt and I use wrist straps, which is just a joint support, basically a bit of a splint. And in equipped, you have canvas suits, which are very technical. If you mess up, you pretty much die.
Wow.
Did you see the guy blowing his both knees out on 400 kilos?
No, I really don't want to either. When was that?
It was about 3 months ago. So they use knee wraps as well, which is like an elastic kind of almost like wide hockey strap kind of material.
Mm.
And they wrap it around the knees and it kind of will bounce you out of the hole. Mm. And also the suit will help bring your hips forward if you get it right. If you get it wrong, it's a lot of weight. So, for example, raw women at my weight class will be lifting 150 about and in the squats, and equipped women will be lifting about 220. So you'll add 70 kilos.
Wow. Wow.
At least. And that's at a lightweight. So, yeah, that's the guys that are. But just recently, a guy has squatted 500 kilos in knee wraps, but without a suit, though.
That's amazing.
Which is amazing.
That's 1,100 pounds, Melissa. That's a lot of weight. How old are you now? I know we're not meant to ask women, but we have a lot of ladies who are 40 plus who listen to this. How old are you?
I'm 45, but also 26.
Yeah. And I'm not just saying this. Well, Melissa, how old does Liz look, do you reckon? Oh,
young. Like, I would have.
I love you, Melissa.
I'm not even trying to be nice, but if I didn't know Liz and I didn't even know that until today. I did a bit of research because, you know, I'm the last minute research guy with everything. Well, I knew about Liz, but I didn't know. Like, if I had have read that you were 37, I would have gone, she's 37. But I reckon you look mid-30s. But anyway, so for a girl who partied hard for 10 years or whatever you did and then didn't take up training till 33, there's a lot of hope.
Yeah. It's the glasses give it away now. I had to, once I turned 40, I had to get glasses. And now they're getting stronger and stronger.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Yeah, I think 40 must be about the age, because I was overseas I can't even remember for what, but I was doing some gigs, but I was overseas, and I remember looking at plane tickets, and I was on the plane and I was reading and everything was a bit blurry. I'm thinking, am I having a stroke? Am I doing this? What's going on? And I went into a convenience store when I got to the States, and I got some reading glasses. I'm like, oh, fuck, how long have these been available? All of a sudden, I'm like, oh, look at this.
I like reading again.
Oh, I didn't really, because it was such a slow degeneration, but it got to the point where everything was fuzzy, and that was 40. And I'm no eyeologist, but once you put that shit on, it just tends to almost accelerate the degeneration, I reckon. So
I swear, it's getting worse. It's faster every year.
Yeah, I think so too. I think there's maybe we need to get an eyeologist on.
We need
Melissa.
Exercises.
Yeah. Well, your eyes are trainable.
Yeah.
I actually had a guy on radio a few years ago. I can't remember his name, but he actually works with people to get them out of glasses. All right, tell us, give us just out of interest, and I know it probably varies, but can you, not when you're a week out of a comp and water loading and doing all the craziness, but in general terms, can you tell us what you eat?
Yes, every morning I have a shake with protein, berries, and that's what I have for first breakfast. Then second breakfast, 20 grams of oats, berries, chobani, more protein. Then I have two lunches, 11 o'clock and 2 o'clock, and oats, protein, vegetables, and depending what training I've done, carbs.
Hang on. What kind of protein?
Meat. I'm South African, so I eat a lot of meat. And so I'll eat chicken. And I love steak. And if I'm in a rush, I just get tuna rice and some of those steamed fresh veggies.
Mm.
But I tend to get some meal prep done for me now because I've been so busy the last year that instead of just snacking.
Now, you don't you have a company that sponsors you? Give them a plug.
Well, I've been using Macro Meals, Macro Fresh, but they True Proteins sponsor me. They're good. Have you used them? Delicious.
I haven't, but I've heard good things. So I might have to, you know, don't feel compelled to send me a tub True Protein at all.
Get Craig the coconut Harper. One.
Coconut. All right. Well, and what about dinner?
Dinner, it depends what time I finish work, but I'll just have again usually salmon or some. I love those little pork cutlets, and then I'll have vegetables again. So that's on a good day. I don't drink enough water, but I try to drink 3 liters if I can.
And when was the last time it's probably like 2 weeks ago because you're on holidays and it's Christmas, but when was the last time you ate what we would call junk?
I had chips and dip yesterday. As in like rice crackers. Because I'm on holidays, I've eaten a bit worse. That's why I have to water load now. But
So with athletes need inspiration and focus and discipline and self-control and energy and all of that. Is that innate for you? Are you just a person who's driven and disciplined naturally? Is it something that you have to work on? Do you need external motivation, or what goes on mentally and emotionally for you to keep moving forward?
So when I started, I'd say I needed that fire to be lit in me. Like I wasn't very disciplined. What I did, I started originally with CrossFit, and I didn't really like the cardio. I was too short for wall balls and rowing and all that kind of thing. And after I actually got to the regionals, back when CrossFit had regionals, because I was strong and I was good at the gymnastic movements, which I had no idea because I'd never trained. And also I discovered I was competitive because I went to a competition and I really, really, really enjoyed winning. And then I actually was training to get to the regionals again, and I got pregnant with Abigail. And then obviously I had her, and then I had to rebuild again. So that was when I started doing the strength sport. I didn't actually realize that powerlifting was a sport.
Mm.
I just started trying to get strong to do CrossFit again. And my strength coach at that time said, your lifts are good enough to go to nationals. And I'd actually only given birth 3 months previously. So I had to go to nationals. I was still breastfeeding. And
oh, wow.
I didn't do very well. But I found a sport where there were weight classes. So that suited me. And I didn't have to do cardio. And I loved using the barbell. Then I eventually talked my way into getting onto the world team, which I didn't deserve to. And when I was there, the Russian coach saw my genetic build and he said, I could make you the best squatter in the world. And that blew my mind. And I went, somebody has told me I could be the best and I'm going to be the best. And from that day on, it was like my train was on its track. And I started to work like crazy, training at 11 o'clock at night, no matter what had to be done, I was willing to do it from that moment.
It's funny when somebody that you respect, and especially when you're kind of new in that space and you're not sure about your potential, you think you can, but you're human, so you have self-doubt and overthinking. Yes. And then someone that you look up to and someone that you know is legit and credible says something like that, it can literally change your life.
Yeah, and it did. I'd had many people, because I remember doing weightlifting and saying, oh, I want to clean 100 kilos one day, and everyone saying, you'll never be able to do that. And I still think of that when I'm doing my power sport. I'm like, yep, I'll show you.
That's hilarious. Because
also, after I had Abby, I had a bad diastasis, which is when your abs split because I'm so short. And I was told I'd never be able to lift heavy again. And that was my obsession for a while, was to show everybody I would be able to lift heavy again. I did everything. I looked up every bit of research I could find on how to fix a diastasis. And now when I brace, you can't tell I've ever had one. So
that's amazing. And so you also have a business. You have a gym, which is called House of Reps in Canberra. Yes. It's called House of Reps. That's quite funny, actually. How does and clever and accurate.
Thank you.
How's business?
Business has been insane in the last year. I think one of the, like, COVID has been terrible, but one of the great things it has done is show people what they can lose if they don't have access to a gym and can't train. And people are finding it so important now. And now I have my little headquarters. I don't know how to put everybody into, like, I've got too many clients, but that's how I like it. I like being busy.
And is it essentially a one-on-one or a coaching PT kind of space?
Yeah, it is. I do a lot of small groups. So yeah. I'll do everyone's programming. They come and see me. I fix their technique because most people squat like shit. That's one of the main things to fix. Yeah. Hey, I should teach you how to squat.
Yeah, you should. You should.
No, I'm only joking.
No, you definitely should. No, trust me. No, you definitely got me covered. That's why I'm intimidated talking to a 45-year-old woman who's 4'11" that's fucking 3 times stronger than me back in therapy for me, everybody. That's okay. I'll deal with it. Fucking just another day on planet me. I know this is a very technical question. So for the 98% of people who don't want to hear this, just hum. But for the 2% who are fascinated, in which I'm in that group, what are the common mistakes that people make when they squat?
Okay, so I was making this mistake for a long time. It's anterior pelvic tilt, which is when you stick your butt out. and your chest out as you squat down. What people need to learn first is how to stack the ribs and your hips and be able to hinge and then go down. That changed my life with my squat. I went from 130 up to 150 kilos plus once I could do that, because it got rid of my back pain and my hip pain.
All right. Now, just so I saw you, because you just did a visual demonstration, which is good. Just so, what is stack your ribs, and explain that as much as you can so people can try it. Like, and if you try it with a lightweight, everyone, of course.
So if you lie on the ground and you push your lower back into the ground, that is essentially stacking your ribs. So if you push your lower back into the ground, the ribs will point down to the hips. Stand up and almost do a slight crunch. That will stack your ribs. So you don't want to do the fitness model, stick your booty out, stripper squat.
That's where I've been going wrong. Fuck it, Instagram, you led me astray.
It's all right, you get more views, but it's going to hurt your back, okay? And then when you hinge, think about, as your hips slide back, your chest moves down a little bit.
Right.
So there has been a lot of chest up kind of cueing. So what you got to think, chest up literally means don't let your butt come up first.
Right.
So it doesn't mean stick your boobs out.
Right.
Basically.
I'll be keeping my boobs well down. Now, what kind of coach are you?
Funny? No. I guess I'm a little bit, I'm very loud. I like to have fun. I like to dance around whilst coaching, and I'm quite enthusiastic. I love teaching people and seeing them change right in front of my eyes. I love hands-on. Poke people a lot.
And have you dragged any of your nightclub music vibe into the gym? Have you kind of tried to amalgamate your previous and your current lives with a bit of doof doof and getting strong as fuck?
Yeah, we do a lot of dancing. I've got a few my Monday night group is crazy. They all twerk. I don't know how to twerk, but I'm sure it doesn't help your squat. See,
if it doesn't help your squat, we're not interested.
But the squat will build your booty. So if you squat correctly, you'll be able to twerk better.
So that's what I think. Melissa, can you twerk?
I don't think I can. No, can't say I can.
It's really hard.
You know, I would love to see you two working out together. Melissa's 6 foot, Liz.
Oh, really? Yeah. I'll spot you.
Thanks.
It's an effort for her just to get off the potty. It's quite the journey.
Long femurs.
Oh, my goodness. She's got long everything, even hair. Well, Liz, it's been really interesting. Thank you so much for having a chat to us on the You Project. Tell us where people can find you, if people want to be coached by you or connect with you or get you to come to their company and speak for a huge amount of money or do some kind of or have some kind of connection. Tell us about the gym. Tell us about Insta. Give everything a plug.
All right. So House of Reps, you can find on Instagram, and there's a website, houseofreps.com. And most people contact me on Liz Powerlifts with an S on Instagram as well. That's where I get most of my business. And you'll be able to see what I'm about there as well. And have a look on my stories. I'm always putting up my clients and their accomplishments. I get very excited. I've got 6 girls going in the comp on Saturday. Lots of them, their first comp. So, yay.
Good for you. And it is an amazing sport. And it's an amazing, you know, even not just the sport, but even just the, you know, the routine and the ritual of doing, you know, 3 really fundamental compound exercises on a regular basis gives, you know, whether or not you're 22 or 72, gives you a really good fundamental baseline for strength. So if you've never done those lifts, of course, get clearance with the appropriate people, but give them a go. Now, while I'm talking, I'm slightly distracted because I'm looking at your Instagram page now, everyone. It's Liz Powerlifts, online and one-on-one strength coach, House of Reps Gym, 2 times world champ, 5 times world record breaker. Yeah, coming at you live. 21,500 followers. You popular as fuck.
I'm annoyed you've got more followers than me.
Yeah, well, you know, look at me though. Look at me though. If you see me squat, I squat like fucking.
It's that stripper squat, mate. That's what's getting it.
Well, when I anteriorly pelvic tilt and my ass is out like an Insta model, people fucking just swarm when I'm in the gym.
It's the booty.
And I have to say, listen, you blokes, fuck off. Now, if people go to, who's an idiot? I'm an idiot. If people go to Liz's Insta page, there's all great pics and shit there, but go to, unless she puts up a new one, but there's one, it's 5 installments ago. It's on the second line and it's a video of Liz in comp. And I saw that, I don't know, whenever you put that up a little while ago, and I went at the gym and trained like a fucking powerhouse because of that bit. And I'm looking at this tiny little thing doing this ridiculous lift and you inspired me. You inspired me for at least one workout. So thank you.
Oh, good. See, there's who needs alcohol or anything when you can G yourself up like that? That's literally what you get addicted to.
And you know what? It's true. And I've said this 1,000 times too. You know, what does booze do? What do drugs do? They change your biochemical state. What does training do? It changes your biochemical state amongst other things. And so it's, you know, but you're getting a healthier high. Stay on the call, Liz. Thank you so much for being on the U Project. Melissa, anything else?
Well, I guess you could probably mention the 2 programs that, because by the time this episode is up, we have 2 programs that are currently live.
Well, you could do that because you're better than me.
So we have the Body Project, which is on the 1st of Feb. These are both online events. And then we've also got the mentoring, the U Project mentoring program that is starting on Monday, the 15th of Feb.
And if you're not one of the cool kids and you're involved, well, you're just not involved. Liz, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. That was fun.
The addict in your family might need you to take the first step for them. They Have Private Hospital for Addiction Treatment has the experience, staff, resources, and processes to help you help your loved one. DAHAB's model of intensive rehabilitation has revolutionized the practice of addiction treatment in Australia. Registered with the DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services, DAHAB now offers rehabilitation programs for drug, alcohol and gambling addiction and is a private health fund approved treatment service. So if you or someone you care about is fighting addiction, there is hope. Addiction is treatable. Recovery is possible. Just ask me, call. And there is light at the end of the tunnel. DAHAB Private Hospital for Addiction Treatment. Call DAHAB on 1-800-329-422 or learn more at DAHAB, DAYHAB, all one word, .com.au.